Okie dokie. It's 1 o'clock here on WILL AM 580. I'm Bob McChesney. Coming to you live today with a special 2-hour edition of Media Matters. We're going to be talking about all things political and all things media. It's going to be an exciting 2 hours with none other than John Nichols, the guest for the full span. But before we go to Media Matters, let's go to Media Minutes.
Any views or opinions expressed by the hosts of Media Minutes are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, its management, or licensee.
Welcome to Media Minutes. I'm Stevie Converse.
And I'm Candace Clement.
And I'm Megan Tatey. A street protest is being held Friday morning outside of News Corp's annual shareholders meeting in Los Angeles to send a message to Rupert Murdoch and his investors that News Corp is not above the law. Free Press, Change to Win, Common Cause LA, Brave New Films, and others are organizing the protests outside of Fox Studios. A similar protest was held in Boston in August. News Corp owner Murdoch has been mired in scandal since last summer, when investigators found that the Murdoch-owned British tabloid News of the World had repeatedly hacked into mobile phones owned by celebrities, politicians, and most upsetting to the British public, a teenage murder victim. That focus has shifted to other News Corp practices. Just last week, another company executive stepped down after being exposed for inflating overseas circulation numbers for the Wall Street Journal. Free Press campaign director Tim Carr says people are gathering to express their outrage over News Corp's actions.
The shareholder meeting is a moment when the media will be paying attention to this scandal once again. And we have an opportunity to say, you know, this is not only about allegations of crimes, this is a story about a media company that became so powerful that it thought itself above the law.
Carr says the protest will highlight the problems with media consolidation. News Corp is the second largest media conglomerate in the world.
When you have a media company that has become so powerful and that gets so close to those in power that they no longer do their job as journalists. This is the old maxim that journalism is about comforting the afflicted and afflicting the comfortable. News Corp has turned that on its ear to a point now where they seem to want to protect themselves and their cronies who are in power.
News Corp has also been accused of bribing foreign law enforcement officials, hacking September 11th victims' phone lines, covering up an internet hacking scandal in the U.S., and numerous other offenses. Major shareholders of News Corp have broken ranks with the company over the scandals and are opposing the re-election of News Corp's entire board, including Murdoch. For more information about the protest, visit freepress.net.
Of a telephone or a smartphone or a computer to reach almost anywhere in this country makes the whole telecommunications network worth more. When it comes to jobs, rural infrastructure investments are investments in America and American workers.
Jonathan Adelstein spoke at the Rural Broadband Summit in Whitesburg, Kentucky, in the heart of Appalachia. Adelstein is the administrator of the Department of Agriculture's Rural Utilities Service and a former FCC commissioner. He said it's important for urban and rural areas to be connected to ensure the free flow of goods and services.
For any connected technology to work, be it voice communications or broadband or electricity, it needs to work well in rural America. A partially connected America makes about as much sense as building highways, which are only paved about 25% of the time.
The 2-day event tackled issues like access to broadband and excessive costs for service. Panelists spoke passionately about the need for telemedicine, education, social and cultural participation, and public safety. Reverend James Patterson of the Partnership for African American Churches said digital exclusion doesn't happen in a vacuum.
The planets don't somehow mystically align, and then all of a sudden we have this problem where certain communities are excluded. I mean, there are laws and there are policies that are developed and implement that aid toward some of these exclusions.
Community members spoke directly to Mr. Edelstein with eloquent pleas for better broadband policies.
Service is what we need more than anything. There is no cell phone service, there is no broadband, and we feel cut off from the world.
Without broadband, there's not a week goes by in my capacity of my job, I don't get a call from somebody, from some company. And the first thing they want to know before if you've got running water is what broadband you got.
I had more regular cell phone access in remote India than I do in Floyd County.
Yes, the cost up front to the company is important, but we also have to think about what it's costing these people. Every month and every year that they go by without internet access puts them farther behind the economy. We've been telling the people of Appalachia for years that in order to compete, you have to educate and innovate. Those are two keys that cannot happen without broadband.
Thanks to Mimi Pickering of Apple Shop for this week's audio. You've been listening to Media Minutes, a production of Free Press, a national nonpartisan organization working to reform the media. For more information, visit freepress.net.
Okie dokie, welcome back to Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney, coming to you live today on October 23rd, 2011, here on WILL AM 580. This is the show we do twice a year. As a rule, it's a two-hour show. It's a special show. It's my very favorite show of the year to do. One of the reasons is our guest will be here talking politics and media with us for 2 hours, a real jamboree, a smorgasbord, none other than John Nichols from The Nation magazine and my common co-author. John, welcome to the show.
It's good to be here, and I promise we won't spend too much time on Herman Cain.
Oh, well enough.
We will talk about these things, but this will be the alternative to major media coverage.
Yeah, because, inanities.
Well, major media coverage right now of our politics would tell you the only thing that matters is a minuscule ongoing Republican debate between 6, 7, 8 people who say the exact same thing. Mm-hmm. And what I would argue is that because of the lame questioning in those debates, just really bad, people aren't challenged. We end up in a situation where we're now in the midst of a 3 to 4 month long infomercial for the extreme right. Mm-hmm. Never happened in the country before. This is an unprecedented moment. So we'll talk about it in that context, but then we'll also talk and suggest that there's a lot more politics going on beyond Michelle Bachmann and Herman Cain.
These are very exciting times, aren't they? And this is also our pledge drive show. This is the time we come to you twice a year and ask you to make a donation to WILL AM 580 to public radio in central Illinois. And we make this request not only to our listeners in Champaign-Urbana, in the area, but also to those who we know listen online, who listen in podcasting. I don't think I ever travel anywhere, including Europe, when someone doesn't go out and say, I listen to your show every week.
I got a better story.
Okay.
I beat you. You're okay. Trumped. So I go to Occupy Wall
Street.
I'm
going to make one up then.
No, I just beat you. You're not going to do better.
Okay, okay.
If I made it up, it wouldn't be any better.
Go ahead, John.
I go to Occupy Wall Street, right? I'm down there in Zuccotti Park between the skyscrapers with all the people sleeping in, launching this incredible international movement that's now, thousands of cities taking it up, people all over the world talking about it. Just say we've got Occupy Bombay, Occupy Tokyo, as well as cities all across the U.S. I'm there in the middle of it. I'm walking around. There's a little table, like a cardboard, or a fold-up table, mm-hmm. A couple computers sitting on it. And the guy who's sitting at the computer looks up, and he goes, John Nichols. And I go, yeah, I'm here. And he goes, you write with Bob McChesney.
Okay, cool.
And I'm not kidding. And the guy goes, I listen to Media Matters every Sunday online. And I said to him, are you serious? So you're sitting here at Occupy Wall Street. You listen to Media Matters with your computer here at Occupy Wall Street. He said, absolutely. So in the thick of the thing, man.
Well, to our friends who might be listening right now in Zuccotti Park, call it and make a pledge.
Actually,
crassly commercial request.
I was going to say, everybody else make a pledge.
Yeah, make a pledge for them.
Listen,
yeah.
So that they can listen.
The number here is 244-9455 to make a pledge, or go to willpledge.org. This show needs your support. This station needs your support. I think anyone who follows public media right now knows the dilemma, the problems we face, the political pressures on these institutions. Shows like Media Matters, it is imperative. I cannot underline, boldface, hype enough. It is imperative that we show to NPR, that we show to the nation that the listeners to this show stand strong for this programming, strong for this sort of content. We actually have some great pledge premiums, John Nichols, to offer people who call 244-9455. That's area code 217, of course. 244-9455, or who go to willpledge.org to make pledges. Three books up, each of which you can get any of the three for 60. One of them is our new book, the paperback version of The Death and Life of American Journalism.
With a new introduction and a new afterword.
It's got two full new chapters.
It's like a whole other book.
It's like a whole other book. It just came out. It's the best thing I think we've written.
I think it is. Till our next book. But the one thing I'll tell you is, too, and this is for listeners to this show who, you know, they know we have this book as a premium. I understand, right? Well, what I can tell you is we actually come to you legitimately now. The McGannon Award, which is one of the biggest award, probably the biggest award in mass communications. And, you know, the one that analyzes all the books that came out. We won this year.
John, I've never heard you boast before. This is
I'm just trying to tell the listeners that this is actually
a good book.
Actually quite proud of it.
It's not a BS book.
I'm kind of proud of the thing.
Okay.
And we also got the Freedom Award from the Newspaper Guild, which is kind of a very rare, incredible thing. So I
boast
not,
all the time.
I'm not a very good boaster, but what I will say is...
You should let me do it.
What I will say is this book has ultimately done what we set out to do, which is to change some of the dialogue in America about how we save our media. The book outlines ways to save media. The problem is that those policies aren't going to be implemented before the end of this show.
No.
And so that's one of the reasons why, even as we talk about how to save a free press in America, we also have to ask people to call in at 244-9455, 244-9455, or go to willpledge.org.
Yeah, and you can, for $60, you can get our book, Death and Life, the paperback version, again, 60 pages longer, Death and Life
easier
of American
carry.
Journalism,
yeah.
Easier to carry on, prettier, lighter. But there's also two other books that are premiums, and these are books, John, that were from authors who were on the show last year. And these books are, you know, all the authors we have in the show are books I'm interested in because I read them.
Yeah.
And so by definition, I'm not going to have people on, I don't want to read their book. But these two books so moved me. I'm assigning them in my classes. I've recommended them to all my friends. These are books that are game changers, to use the banal, hackneyed expression. They're life changers for undergraduates. And I think they should be mandatory reading. That's why I said, let's make these our pledge gifts, because these are books people should read. The first
I actually
one,
don't know what they are.
The first one's by Michelle Alexander, who writes for The Nation, your
Brilliant.
Publication.
Wonderful writer.
And her book, The New Jim Crow, is simply, I don't think you can read that and not really rethink just about everything you thought you knew about the prison system, the drug war, what's happening to the African American community in this country today, especially in our cities. It
the
is
voter
an extraordinary
ID laws.
The voter ID
down.
Laws.
Yeah.
I mean, this is an extraordinary work of research.
And you know why it's such a, this is very interesting because, and I have just loved this book, and I love Michelle. I think she's a brilliant researcher and thinker. But what this book does is it reframes the debate in a way where you actually can say comfortably, some of these policies are flat-out racist.
Yeah, exactly.
And the right will push back on you. There's folks who will say, oh, no, that's not it. You can't use that language. Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And when you've got a copy of this book in your hand, you can actually say very bluntly, here's what's going on in this country, and we've got to do something about it.
Absolutely. It is indefensible what's going on.
It is. It's a fabulous book, and it is such a good tool.
So that's for $60. You can have that one, too. Okay. And then the third book is another book that I just absolutely adored, Jacob Hacker and Paul Pearson's book, Winner Take All Politics, which I've been stealing from liberally in all my lectures and everything I say now.
It occurred to me.
Yeah, it had so much great material in it about the growth of economic inequality in the United States and how much of it's related to political decisions that have made, not the free market, but in fact, pure flat-out crony capitalist corruption and manipulating the government to funnel money to the top one hundredth of 1% of the population.
The genius of this book is that in many ways it's the background text for the whole Occupy Wall Street movement.
Absolutely.
If you want to talk about the 1% and the 99%, you know, 20 years ago, if you'd said in America, 1%'s got all the wealth, 99% is paying for everything and being screwed over, you would have been laughed out of the room. And in fact, that wasn't the case 20 years ago. But what this book details is how over recent times in our living memory, we have seen a restructuring of American politics and a restructuring of American government. So it becomes really a funnel of money from working people to the wealthy. And our government becomes a tool of redistribution of the wealth upward. And it's It's a terrific book. One thing is, when you tie these three books together, you actually have what I would think of is a pretty good explanation for the crisis we're in, and even some good ideas for how to get out of it.
I think, hopefully, a roadmap out. So, yeah, the three books, again, to recap, The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, Winner Take All Politics by Jacob Hacker and Paul Pearson, and then our book, John Nichols and Bob McChesney, Death and Life of American Journalism. Any of those for $60 pledge to support WILL, two of them for $100. And three for 150. I think that's three for 150, two for 100. Give whatever you can. Get as many books as you can. I can promise us, anyone who reads those books, and I'll leave ours out of it, even though John won't because he's boasting today.
I know.
But I think they're really such books that just change you. I mean, they change the way you understand something you thought you knew.
And I gotta, I love all my children, but. I got to say, Michelle Alexander's book is really the one that I think it wrenches you out of an incredibly narrow dialogue.
It is mind-blowing.
Yeah,
there's
but you
no
know
other
for
it. It's such a brilliant book. And so I'm so proud of these pledge drives books this year. I mean, I'm really another point is that, and I think this gets to why people should call 244-9455, make their pledge, go to willpledge.org. The area code here, of course, 217, so it's 217-244-9455. The other reason to make this pledge is those were guests on our show.
Exactly. This show has become such a powerful vehicle for highlighting new books and new ideas. And I think that's the key thing. I don't think we're excited about any of these books just because they're pieces, you know, some paper, printing on paper. What's exciting about them is that they're distillations of ideas, new ways to think about what's going on in America. We happen to be at an incredible change moment. There's so much going on. There is simply no question, because of the economic crisis we're in, because of the political crisis that we are in, and we are absolutely in the midst of a very severe political crisis, because of this combination of factors, there's simple reality. America's going to go one way or the other. We're going to go left or right. And how we go
up or down.
Yeah. And it's going to be very defining for a long period of time. I think you look at it as this is a point like the 1850s, like the late 1920s, where, you know, at some point there's going to be a big shift that occurs. And this country, right or left, up or down.
Now, by this analogy, Don Nichols, is Obama Al Smith or FDR?
He ain't FDR. I hate to tell you. But he may not be Al Smith. Look, I think of Barack Obama as one of the most unformed political figures I've ever seen. I think he knows himself very, very well. In fact, he's written a stack of books about himself. Mm-hmm. And so he knows his mood. He knows kind of how he thinks. And I think he is a person who really wanted to come to power in stable times with a little bit of resources and do very good things. I have no doubt of that. The problem is he didn't come to power in such times. He came to power in times that are so volatile that the president of the United States must become a defining figure. And he has not been a defining figure. He has been a collaborative figure, a following figure, a guy who kind of shifts with the moment. But the question on Barack Obama is the critical one. Can he change? Can he step up to this era? If he cannot, then whether he is reelected or defeated may not matter, because he could be reelected, but with a very overwhelmingly Republican Congress. And in fact, he will end up compromising into that zone. Or if he's defeated, obviously, the crisis there. No matter how you look at it, Obama has to change if we're going to have any kind of hope in this moment, because it's likely he will be the nominee for president. This is the kind of stuff we talk about on this show. We don't candy coat it. We don't make it easy. And we do ask people to support a dialogue that goes deeper, that asks tougher questions. The way you can do that is going to willpledge.org or by calling 217-244-9455. If you're in Champaign-Urbana, it's 244-9455. Or you can also call the 800 number, 800-222. Oh, I'm sorry. Don't call that. Bob's over here going ixnay on that one.
All right.
So just 244-9455. But the bottom line is that, and this is something, I had dinner the other night with Bill Greider. Mm-hmm. Who I think has been a guest. I don't know if he's been a guest on this show.
I've been trying to get him. Maybe now he'll.
He would do it gladly.
Okay, maybe I got the wrong phone number.
The funny thing about Greider is he's such a brilliant and accessible character. But Greider and I were talking about this thing, and we'll reveal it on this show. We're actually discussing whether to write a piece for the Nation in which our theme was the danger of Barack Obama being reelected. Mm-hmm. And this is not an anti-Obama piece, not at all. Not anti-Obama.
I know you and I know Greider.
The danger of Obama being reelected in something that isn't a big shift election, like a big shift toward progressive ideas.
Sort of like a 96 election.
Yeah, Obama gets reelected, but you have a more Republican Congress, something like that. In that context, you might have a Democratic president presiding over a hyper-conservative moment.
Yeah.
And he might be able to stop a couple of horrible things.
It'll get a lot of stuff through that
That's
Democrats
what I mean.
Would oppose otherwise, like the trade deals in the 90s under Clinton.
Well, or a radical restructuring of Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security.
That's right.
And so I think that that's, when we look at this moment, that's how volatile it is. That's what we're talking about. There are not easy wins or easy losses, but there are critical tests.
John Nichols, you just listened to our guest today here on Media Matters. I'm your host, Bob McChesney. This is the special two-hour version. We're going to go all the way to 3 o'clock Central Time today. This is also our pledge drive show. We're talking politics and media today, but the foundation of what we need is everyone to call in and make their call right now to WILL to support public radio in Illinois. The number, of course, is 217-244-9455, 217-244-9455, or you can go to willpledge.org. We have three premium gifts for a $60 pledge. You get any one of these three books. Nichols and McChesney's book, The Death and Life of American Journalism, Michelle Alexander's extraordinary new book, The New Jim Crow, and Jacob Hacker and Paul Pearson's great book, Winner Take All Politics. Any of those three for $60, two of the three for $100, and all three for $150. Now, I have good news, John, and
no.
I have
yeah.
bad news.
You're the bad first. I'd rather get rise to the good.
Bad news is we've got only two callers.
Okay, what's good news?
We're supposed to get 100.
The good news is the 100?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I thought they give us
so,
time.
So we are 1/50th of the way there.
Yeah, we're on the 2-yard line, but the wrong 2-yard line.
Yeah.
I guess that's another way to put it. But let me thank the people, if I can, who did call in and pledge, and thank you so much. Diane Nickum from Robinson, Illinois, and Robert Neville of Terre Haute, Indiana. And I know Robert's pledged before, and I never know if it's Neville or Neville.
I've Neville, seen both. It could be. Neville. If he's from New Orleans or from the Midwest.
Yeah. Okay, Neville. Because in Cleveland it was Neville, but
I'm thinking Neville.
Okay, I'll go with Neville.
I don't know.
Maybe it's Bob. Bob Neville.
Bob.
That's a nice name.
He's from Eugene Victor Debs' hometown.
That's right.
Fine thing.
And also where Larry Bird played college basketball, which, of course, you have no idea what I'm talking about, John Nichols.
You
don't know who Larry Bird is.
He didn't sleep with Sarah Palin, did he?
Okay. So please do call and make your pledge, 244-9455. We need your support. And, you know, we come to you twice a year to ask for your support for this program specifically and for WILL in general. And we make the same arguments each time how important it is. And I think that sometimes because you've heard these points before, they say, okay, well, they're always saying this and they're still on the
and
air.
And in fact, they are.
Yeah, they are. But, you know, maybe that's not that important. But I think the events of the last few months or last year should underline again just how important demonstrating to people in power that programming like this is important and you don't want to let it go, that you get in general from public radio or community radio, in general from a station like WILL AM 580, and specifically from this show, because shows like this don't grow on trees, frankly. There's not a big clamor at the headquarters in Washington. Hey, let's get some more shows like McChesney's on the air.
In fact, if we could be honest, and this is one of the challenges today, there is so much pressure on the public sphere.
Yeah.
And this is not just public radio, public TV, community radio, community television, but also
public universities, the works,
the schools, public services. This is a time of incredible assault. And so those who manage these services, these benefits to our society, feel so battered that they don't look for creative new ways to go. They're basically looking to shore up the wall, you know, keep the thing from crumbling altogether. This show pushes limits. It asks tough questions. I think this show goes way beyond right and left, Democrat and Republican, to really explore some ideas that are beyond the current debate. But the interesting thing is, if you look back at what this show was discussing a year ago, 2 years ago, you're not surprised by Occupy Wall Street, by the great demonstrations that we've seen in Wisconsin, Ohio, other places, because you could see this coming if you listen to this show. You won't see it coming if you listen to ABC, NBC, CBS. But the way that we can show you what's coming is to get your support. You make it possible. And you do so by going to willpledge.org. You can do it right online. We love that. Or we have wonderful people waiting for your calls. They love to pick up
with bated breath.
Bated breath, indeed. In fact, some of them are holding their breath between calls, turning purple. And they,
so it's on you if you don't call.
Yeah, there's somebody begging you to call at 244-9455, 244-9455. If you're outside Champaign-Urbana, if you're outside the core area, then you go to 217-333.
No, same number.
I'm sorry, 217-244-9455. Bottom line is, just remember that, 244-9455. Call in, and the critical thing is, we've been talking about these books. They're wonderful books. We hope you get one, or all three. But the most important thing, we've set this standard from the beginning of when we did this, is we believe in popular support for media.
Give something.
If you call with $5,
that's right.
We love it. We honor you for that. If things are going well, I mean, if you're in some hedge fund manager and you're betting against, betting against the U.S. economy, you're making big bucks. You want to call in $1,000, we'll take that too. But the bottom line is, to us, those are equal pledges, because they come from a citizen who wants to support something that's really important. Some people can only give $5. We love it. Do call and give that. It matters, because we don't set a dollar figure for these shows. We set a number of calls.
100 callers is our goal. And again, like John was just saying, if you can, we know these are very hard times economically for lots of people. If you can only give $5 or $10 or $15,
fabulous,
give what you can. And that's great. It goes down just as much as someone who gets more. But if you're out there and you've got a stable job, your economic situation's fine, you don't have a lot of debts, you don't have a lot of obligations in front of you, and maybe this is the time you can spend $500, mm-hmm, or $1,000 or $3,000 or $4,000, boy, there's never been a better time. Because I can tell you right now, for every person who can do that listening to the show, there are 10,000 people listening to the show can't give anything. You're going to be helping them out. They would love to be in a position to give that sort of money to support a show like Media Matters.
And we have people who have stepped up like this.
Oh, we have, and I love them.
And it's just the thing that's striking is that, and when we do these pledge drives, we talk a lot of politics. But to be honest, the real politics of it is this democratizing of media, this notion that citizens call up at 244-9455, 244-9455, and they say, look, I don't want my media spoon-fed to me by Rupert Murdoch. I don't want my media spoon-fed to me by folks who think that the values of our communications should be commercial and entertainment values. I want civic and democratic values. And that's what this show has really tried to celebrate for a long time now.
Now, John Nichols, we're going to do a trivia quiz. And people listening can play at home with this. I'm going to give John a question, and then we'll be a brief pause so all of you can try to answer it yourselves. What do the following four people, have in common, John Nichols? Let's see here. Francis Fox Piven, mm-hmm, Katrina Vandenhoevel, mm-hmm, Ralph Nader, mm-hmm, and Bill Moyers. What do those four people have in common?
Well, I can tell you one thing.
Okay, those of you at home, time's up. You have to have your answer.
Well, here it is. First off, I'd say that each of them has in themselves, not together, but each of them in themselves has a higher cumulative IQ than the entire Republican presidential field. But I assume that you're asking something else. And so I'm going to say that all four of them, Francis Fox Piven, one of the greatest thinkers in American history on poverty, voting rights, so many critical democratic issues, Katrina Vandenhoevel, editor of The Nation magazine, and really a point person on so many democratizing issues, Ralph Nader, such a wonderfully controversial figure, somebody who's stood up and challenged this system from an economic standpoint, from a political standpoint, so many ways. And Bill Moyers, who is frankly the most brilliant, I think, most brilliant essayist and thinker of our time as regards democracy itself. All four tying into democracy. I'm going to say all four have been guests on Media Matters.
Since the last Pledge Drive show, since the April Pledge Drive, those have been four of the people. So if those of you at home, if you're keeping score, you got that right if you answered the same way.
It's a pretty damn fine list, though.
Well, there's more coming later. That's the first. We're going to do quizzes throughout the show. That's just letting
you're tipping the crowd off, though.
Yeah, I think that the next one's going to be a little easier.
If you got that one right,
you're probably in good shape.
If you got that one right and your spouse or your children are not impressed by you bragging, call 244-9455, 244-9455. Tell the person answering the call, I got that quiz question right. They will lavish praise on you. And then they will take your pledge.
And the question, the sad part of this is that there aren't very many other places any of those four people get an hour of commercial free time to answer questions at length, to take calls from people in Champaign-Urbana or anywhere else in the world.
Barack Obama doesn't get an hour of commercial free time. Nobody. It doesn't exist in our media today. It's not merely that those figures don't get the hearing they deserve. It is also that we have such a spotty kind of dysfunctional media today that even when somebody is saying something that matters, we don't give them the time to say it. And we chop it up into sound bites. We push it to the sidelines. And, you know, it's funny. I saw an interview the other night with Jimmy Carter. Mm-hmm. And it was on CNN. And it was the end of the Iraq war, which Jimmy Carter brilliantly and appropriately opposed. He was rarely in the history of the country has a former president stepped up and expressed opposition to a rush to unnecessary war.
That's almost Lincoln-esque.
It was. A pretty damn interesting thing. So they get Jimmy Carter, right? And CNN's got him. And they take... They've got Carter going, I never thought this was a good war. That was the end of it. That was the clip. So here you have the former president of the United States, a guy who was actually right about this whole thing, and it was under 5 seconds.
Jeez.
You know, and that was, I mean, I think America could have handled a minute.
You know? Not to mention an hour of Jimmy Carter talking about foreign policy. Yeah. Well, you know, John Nichols, these are extraordinary political times. You were at Occupy Wall Street. Yeah. There have been demonstrations in Champaign-Urbana. They've been going on all over
arrests
the place.
In Chicago last night.
Yeah, huge number of arrests. And we're following it here on this show. So, but what we do need, again, we need people to support us. We need people to call in. I can't emphasize how much the singular importance that we have to go before the powers that be in this country and in public media to demonstrate the support this program has. And that we demonstrate that by saying this is how many people call in to support us during the pledge drive. We need people to call 217-244-9455. And we have these fantastic books that, frankly, even if you just, I'd pay this amount of money easily for these books. Certainly the Michelle Alexander New Jim Crow book, an instant classic. Likewise, the Jacob Hacker and Paul Pearson book, Winner Take All Politics. These are books that are so phenomenal.
Or the McGannon and Freedom Award winning Death and Life of
the McChesney and Nichols Death and Life. I agree. It's a good book. So any of those for $60, two for $100, all three for $150, please call and make your vote. Say, this is the sort of radio I want. In times of crisis, when there's problems going on in the world that are immense, I want a radio station that digs deep, that burrows, that brings in the sort of guests we're talking about. Guests like, here's some other ones, John. Since the gig's up, we know what...
Yeah, I think the quiz thing is falling
The quiz
apart.
Thing did work once. I didn't even fool you, but here's some other folks who've been on since the last Pledge Drive show. Let's go to some of the other names of folks. The Economist, Dean Baker. David Sirota.
Can I just say, sure. Dean Baker, just on Friday, Bernie Sanders announced that he's setting up a commission out of his office to look at how to reform the Fed to get it back to its actual work, which is supposed to be promoting
full employment. Yeah,
right?
Exactly.
And it's Joseph Stiglitz, Jeffrey Sachs, Dean Baker,
wonderful.
Is on it, of course, Mary Buttari from Bankster.org.
Who's been a guest on the show.
And but so many people that we respect. And, I mean, this is Bernie Sanders, who really is in the Senate now, the point person on economics.
And
for
who
progressive
is going
economics.
To be on, who's scheduled to be on the show in the next few months.
And he's taken on this core issue, the question of how we deal with our money system in this country and how we put it to work for people rather than big corporations. Dean Baker is a definitional figure in that struggle. So that's a pretty good guest.
Yeah, and so we need, we've got guests like Dean Baker, we have Matt Rothschild from The Progressive, we've had Dave Zirin, the sports reporter, who's done the new book with John Carlos.
So cool. John Carlos going to all, he's traveling around the country. You know, John Carlos is doing his book tour.
Uh-huh.
People all remember 68 Olympics. He's the guy who put his head down and his fist up. John Carlos is this incredible, epic figure, great intellectual, doing his book tour with this new book with Dave Zirin. And every town he goes to, he goes out of his way to be part of the Occupy event.
And that's
there.
A really good segue for people. We're going to have a guest we're going to get on the line in just a second or two. But I want people to call the number 217-244-9455. We've hardly gotten any calls yet compared to what we were hoping for. And we desperately need your support. And we've got all these great pledge premiums. Please call. Give what you can. We just need people to vote with their feet or with their fingers or whatever you're going to use.
Actually their
fingers.
Yeah,
and your credit card or your checkbook. Show your support for this type of programming. You mentioned Occupy Wall Street, which is going to be is the big story, I think, in the country right now and the world.
I think it is. Yeah.
And, you know, next week it's going to be releasing. We have a recorded show coming on next Sunday that I recorded literally days before Occupy Wall Street. And I recorded it with Van Jones. He's going to be the guest on next week's show, a full hour with Van Jones. And it's going to be interesting for the historical, how it's going to seem like it's from a different era. So much has changed since early September till late October. It's the world has been turned upside down.
And you know what? Because this is like years ago, we wrote a book called Our Media, Not Theirs.
Yeah.
And we said, well, you know what's going to have to happen? People are going to have to gather in church basements and union halls and build a movement for media reform. And then George Bush came along and proposed a radical assault on what limited democracy we still have in our media. And suddenly we had a movement right there. Movement got way ahead of what we had anticipated.
That's right.
And I think a similar thing has happened for Van, who's a good friend, and for a lot of other activists. People were saying, oh, we're going to have to really get to work and build something. And we didn't realize that the energy was already there.
That's right.
And these kids mostly went down, and at the call of our friends from Adbusters
Magazine,
went down to and did Occupy Wall Street, and it just captured the imagination. And sometimes those of us who are, you know, kind of nose to the grindstone so much, we're thinking about how to build movements slowly over time. We don't recognize there are moments in history where you just throw a little match on and that thing goes up.
There are moments in history you don't wait for people to tell you what to do. You just do it.
Exactly.
And this is exactly what's happening now. You don't wait for someone in New York to say, come here and do this or go there and do that. Send me a check. You just say, you know, I've had enough of this. I choose to live.
And you know what? You know where Occupy is at? It had the biggest spread in the country where it's just taken off, not just in, you know, like one college town or state capital.
Where?
Iowa. There are now Occupy Iowa has got stuff going on in some, you know, small towns like Cedar Lake and places like that. There are people literally sleeping on courthouse steps. Occupy Iowa has become an incredible phenomenon, and they have had many arrests in Des Moines. On Saturday they marched on Barack Obama's campaign headquarters in Iowa, saying, you know, we're not satisfied with either party. But I want to tell you, this thing, anybody who's just listened to the most narrow media coverage may think it's a New York thing or a couple other cities. Into small towns. Today, in my home state of Wisconsin, this afternoon, there's Occupy Sheboygan. And people are occupying a park in, you know, a mid-size industrial town.
Yeah, it's working class city.
It really is.
Yeah. I'm Bob McChesney. You've just been listening to John Nichols. This is Media Matters on WILLAM 580. We need you to call in for your pledge drive. Make that pledge right now, 217-244-9455. We have a few people, John Nichols, I want to thank.
I love those people.
These are people I love dearly. And I want to get the spelling for my will almost. I love them so much.
Yeah.
My daughters wouldn't like that. Glenn Martin of St. Joseph, thank you very much. Joyce Glenn of Urbana. That's fantastic. We've got Peter Andrews from Charleston down the road here.
Charleston always comes through.
Yeah, Eastern Illinois University. Yeah. Kathleen Kitch of Williamsport, Indiana, and Ken Green of Saybrook, Illinois. Thank you so much. And Nancy Stagg of Urbana. Urbana always comes through. You know, it's sort of a, you know, I live in Champaign now.
I've crossed over. I don't understand that. Yeah.
I'm heading west, like Horace Greeley advised.
Yeah.
And, you know, see, Urbana just dominates. We've really got to get Champaign in the program.
In defense of Champaign, I've been doing these pledge shows for quite a while, and I think the Urbana people just get up earlier because often Champaign comes on strong towards.
Yeah, they're
more
the party crowd, I think.
Yeah, I know. You know, they're out there with REO Speedway.
Yeah, and that's the road over there. That's
exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
And we got Nancy Dietrich of Urbana, too, to thank, who called in earlier.
Okay, if Urbana wants to take this,
yeah,
day,
we're
if they
really
want to go all 100 out of, you know, that's fine.
We need people to call. And now we're finally got someone waiting in the line. Our only guest today, John, is calling in.
Oh.
Someone you recommended, no less, John Nichols, when you came back from Occupy Wall Street, you said,
you got him?
We
got
to have Jeff Smith on there.
That
Jeff's
is so
running
cool.
The media down at Occupy Wall Street. And Jeff Smith, are you there now?
Yes, I am.
Jeff, thank you for your patience, because we're on our pledge drive show, as you can tell, so we're trying to turn people upside down and shake the money out of their pockets. But before,
Jeff, do you remember, this is John Nichols, do you remember when I came up to you at the table?
Oh, absolutely.
Well, I told you we'd get you on media. You said you were a Media Matters listener. I said we would get you on the show. Here you are.
Well, Jeff, do me a favor, if you would, for those of us who are out here in the Midwest, in the heartland, give a sense of the flavor of what it's been like at Occupy Wall Street and what you think probably the news media have been missing that's actually taking place.
Well, it's obviously been growing tremendously, and the news coverage has been spotty and inaccurate, and it sort of run the gamut of all the tricks of the, you know, corporate media in terms of propaganda. But I think what's really happening down there is more than just a protest. It's really a social movement. And I think it's why people, when they come and they see it in person, it's so much of a different experience. I think it immediately connects with them in a way that is almost impossible unless you're a really good journalist, frankly, living down there and being in that environment to convey. And so, you know, as much of what's going on there is about really education. It's like a forum that Americans feel like they haven't had. And I think a part of that, at least for me personally, I think is a result of the corporatization of media and the restriction of any real message. And when you talk about your guest list, I would say that it could easily go through the archives of Media Matters, and it reads like a list of rock star, you know, appearances that we've had down there at Zuccotti Park. You know, Naomi Klein and Jeremy Scahill and John Nichols, of course, Laura Flanders, Dave Zirin, on and on. And when actual rock stars show up, those people don't get so much attention. You know, Alec Baldwin and Susan Sarandon have been there. And most people, you know, they're kind of like, well, I'm not sure who that is, or, you know, some people notice. But, you know, Naomi Klein had an enormous crowd of people that were interested to hear her speak. So,
hey, Jeff, let me ask you. You're speaking so well of the thing, but I think it's important for listeners to know how you came down there on the first day or so and set the table up. Is that's basically, tell us a little bit how you got involved in it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've lived in New York for a while, and there have been a few similar types of protests and things that I've attended, but I didn't really know that this was going to turn into something special. But I did like the concept of staying there permanently and using that as a way to sort of force the media to pay attention, or the public to pay attention, someone to pay attention. That was really what our first demand was to start the conversation about the things that we're talking about. And so the sort of bigger it got, really, it sort of draws you in. It's so powerful, as they say. It's like a social movement. And, you know, not that we have planned this, but honestly, when people come up, people that live in New York that have jobs, and they would come up and donate money, you know, $20, $40, $60. I believe the average donation overall that we've received is about $47 on average.
Wow.
From the public. And they look at the people down there and they think, you know, this is really important. Even if I can't be here and spend the night here and do what these people are doing, they happily give up their money. And I think that, you know, what you guys do on this show as well, I mean, there's so many, the reason why so many people down there are so interested in the guests that you have is because it's quite a well-educated group of people there. It's not just a random collection of young people and the such. And so, you know, again, what we're doing as we're expanding this movement is actually educating people and teaching them. And I, all the time, frankly, talk to journalists down there because that's sort of my role now, is that I'm outward-facing towards the press that comes in there. And I find myself quoting, you know, statistics from your book about journalism to them, and they almost seem like, wow, you know, it's almost like I can, virtually any profession that I come down there and talk to, I can convert them over to being on the side of the protest.
You're converting journalists down there?
All right, way to go, Jeff. Now, Jeff, one of the things I thought was interesting, the news media coverage, I think, has been at best spotty. A bright exception has been the Keith Olbermann show on Current TV, where he is, you know, buried beneath the sort of celebrity or superficial gloss and the sort of inane stuff about where the spokesman, to really look at who's down there and what the issues are and talking to actual people on the ground. And one interview he did last week that I was struck by was with Paul Krugman, of all people, the New York Times columnist and Princeton economist. And the reason I thought of this is your first comment, because Krugman went down to spend time at Occupy Wall Street, I gather, on Thursday or Friday. And he went down very skeptically, thinking he was going to see a lot of bong-smoking hippies, you know, doing stuff that would piss off Rush Limbaugh. And he said it was the exact opposite. It was just an incredibly moving and thoughtful group of people. And so I thought it sort of confirmed the point you were making.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think Keith Olbermann has done a much better job, I agree, than any of the other sort of major media outlets. But there's still so much more of the story to tell. There's the actual process of the General Assembly, which is like basically a functioning legislative body that has been largely, totally uncovered, and that's really the way that the entire movement is organized, where we take care of logistics in terms of cooking and sanitation and comfort items for people to sleep. There's a whole really almost representative society. In a lot of cases, you could say what this protest or what the demands are really what the process is down there, the process as demands. And I think people have begun to reimagine society in a way where people are the government and government is good, and we can actually take care of everyone's needs, and people happily work in that system without even being paid. They just gravitate towards areas where they feel comfortable and productive. And as you see, the whole thing is kind of ad hoc, moving forward at an incredible pace.
You know, Jeff Smith, I want to thank you for taking time out of your Sunday to join us. It's been fantastic. Let's stay in touch. I want to do more on this after the pledge drive when we get back to regular programming. And thank you for everything you're doing.
I really appreciate it. Thank you both.
Okay,
thanks,
see
Jeff.
You, Jeff.
Keep it up.
Yeah, that was Jeff Smith, who's been in running or helping. He's been the man doing the media.
And Jeff didn't seek it. I mean, yeah. He was a guy who got this. I was down there, and we talked about this. Jeff is a guy who's worked in all sorts of different media things. He came down those early days. He said, "Okay, there needs to be a table here where reporters can come up." He put a little handmade sign up, and that's his role.
Yeah.
But the weird thing is, I've seen him quoted in the New York Times.
Oh, he was quoted yesterday in the big piece.
That's what I'm saying. So, and he has not sought it.
That's
but
right.
He's like everybody else. Somebody's cooking. Somebody's laying out the knapsacks and the sleeping bags. Jeff has taken on the media part of it, and we're so lucky because he's a guy who has studied Chomsky, who has studied some of the things we've written, and has a sense of how to deal with all this.
And how media actually work.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is Media Matters. I'm Bob McChesney. You've just been listening to John Nichols. We are in the first hour of a special two-hour program. It's a live show coming to you. This is the day we go before you and ask for your support. We're talking media and politics here, but we're also talking media and politics here in the sense that we need your support politically and economically for this show and for this station to survive and to thrive. You know, this show is not like other shows on NPR. It's not like other shows on public radio. It has been very successful over the years. It has a national and international audience, not to mention, I'm proud to say, it's been the number one ranked show for its time slot among adults in the Champaign-Urbana area.
Which is mind-blowing.
And I'm proud of all those things. But even despite that success, it's not like other NPR stations are clamoring to find their local McChesney to get on the air.
And there's also, you don't hear at the end of this show, you know, brought to you with a generous grant from ExxonMobil.
Yeah, that's right.
This is a show that has had tremendous international reach, where the most prominent players in all sorts of areas actually ask to come on. People want to be a part of this show. And all of this is accomplished by you. You call in, you make pledges at 244-9455. That's 244-9455. Or you go online to willpledge.org.
And John, we got our first online pledge from Urbana. It's anonymous from Urbana. So we did the Will Pledge thing does work successfully.
It does, yeah.
But I would urge you to call 217-244-9455. Make that pledge. Remember, we have three terrific premiums, three books, any of which you can get for a $60 pledge, two of them for $100, all three for $150. And there are two spectacular books and one that John and I wrote that we're wild about, but we'll let you be the judge and all the awards we've got be the judge. Michelle Alexander, The New Jim Crow, the book by Jacob Hacker and Paul Pearson, Winner Take All Politics, both of whom, they were all guests on this program in the last 3 months talking about these books. And then my book with John, The Death and Life of American Journalism. Please, I think you'll love the books, but the money will go to good use. And having your name there, we support this type of radio. We want radio with people like, who are some of the other folks we've had we haven't mentioned yet? Amy Goodman, John Bellamy Foster, Eli Pariser, Robert Reich, Salim Muwakkil.
Who's just a fabulous
player. Lisa Graves, Mark Weisbrot. Then last week we had Greg Mitchell and Laura Flanders on talking about Occupy Wall Street, Occupy America.
And, you know, it's funny. You know, some of these names are very, very prominent. Some of them you know, but you're not sure why you know. Lisa Graves from the Center for Media and Democracy. Behind this incredible ALEC exposed
project. Really the crucial research on how the Koch brothers and these guys are buying off state legislatures, you know, right and left.
And Robert Reich, the former Secretary of Labor, who really has come out as the most essential spokesperson against the austerity lie.
From the establishment.
Yeah, he's one,
from the heart of the system.
He's a former Secretary of Labor, and he is standing up and he's saying, this is absolutely false. We aren't broke. We have the ability. We have the ability to handle our economic moment. We just lack the political will. And he's been a very courageous player. I think a really important player.
Yeah, and he was a great guest on the show.
Oh, he is.
So, you know, we need you to call 217-244-9455. Make that pledge as much as you can. If you can only give $5 or $10 or $20, do that. If you can give $100 or $150, get a couple of these books. Mm-hmm. And if you're very fortunate, you know, just good fortune has come to you, you know, give a bigger check. Because believe me, there are lots of people listening who would love. There's people right now at Occupy Wall Street listening to the show live.
Which is an incredible thing.
Yeah, which is an incredible thing. Who are, we don't want their money. They've got other things to do. But give money and support of them.
You're into Occupy Wall Street. Send some money there. You can help out. But as Jeff Smith just said, the average pledge to Occupy Wall Street is $47. If you can cut $47 loose for this show, we'll continue to do something that no other show will do. We'll give you the ideas that underpin these movements, and we'll also give voice to the people who are in the center of this movement. I will venture to say that today, no other program on public radio in this country featured somebody calling from Occupy Wall Street talking about how media's covered it, what the structures of all of this are. And so this is a unique show. It survives because it has a unique base of supporters. That's you, the listeners, at calling at 244-9455.
Area code
217.
All right,
244-9455.
And yeah, we have a bunch of people I want to thank right now. Beth Stafford of Champaign, thank you so much. David Bauer of Ridge Farm, a new member, first time pledger. We
love
always
guys.
Love to see that. Yeah. Thank you so much, David, and hope to keep you coming back. We've got Herman Brockman of Congerville, Illinois. Dan Hill from Savoy. Mark Leff, a colleague of mine.
Absolutely.
Here at the university.
Wonderful.
From Urbana, great man. And an anonymous caller, get this, John Nichols, an anonymous caller from Tucson, Arizona.
Do you know,
who
this
supports Media
this
Matters.
Is the weird thing. Now, I won't lie to you. I won't tell you that it's like, you know, when I mentioned Media Matters, I was in San Francisco not long ago, that the whole crowd, you know, goes wild. But I guarantee you, every time I'm at an event in L.A. or San Francisco or Washington or New York, somebody comes up and says, oh, yeah, I listen to you on Media Matters. And I'm always like, how? And then I realize, oh, there's this internet thing. And there are a lot of people who go and make the effort, find each week. And I would love to tell you that it's just because Bob McChesney is such a great guy. But I think it's also because the guests stand out. I mean, this is a rare program. When you look at you put all these guests together and you say, you know, who's been here? When you've got Bill Moyers and Amy Goodman and Robert Reich and Van Jones and other folks, people who are at the absolute center of this discourse, coming on week after week, it becomes a show that I think a lot of listeners come back to just saying, you know, I don't even know who the guest is going to be, but I know it's going to be somebody important and I know it's going to matter. And that's what you're supporting when you call 244-9455, 244-9455.
Well, you've memorized it, John. I don't even have to hold it up for you. That's really impressive. Area code 217. The only, John, I have depressing news. I think we're talking too much politics. We have to do more shameless.
No, we've been shameless. We have been damn shameless.
We're going to get more shameless on
if
you.
If they don't go for it, man.
We'll do product placements. We'll do the whole thing.
Yeah, I know. Bob's wearing a Palm Wonderful t-shirt here.
Because we've only had, unfortunately, 16 pledges, and I've given their names, and I love them all, but we're supposed to get 100. That means we've got to get 84 in the next hour and 7 or hour and 8 minutes.
You know, I unfortunately have to tell you, Bob, and I really, you know, I hate to remind you, this is what they do. You know, the listeners to your show,
mm-hmm.
they listen. They're fabulous. They're very attentive. They listen, they listen, they listen. Then they wait till the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, I know.
And
they flood the lines.
You know what? I just, this time, fool us. Do it different.
Yeah, please.
Yeah,
call
do it
out.
Different.
You know, if you get a burst of like 30 or 40 people, call right now, especially those of you, you know, who talk to me all the time. Some people say, yeah, you know, and I don't recognize any of their names yet. People, yeah, I listen to your show all the time. Yeah, it's great. Fantastic. Okay, now prove it. Call.
Yeah, don't be the,
show
don't be
me.
The, don't be the guy who goes to the bathroom when you park at you're at the gas pump and then comes back out and says, oh, did you pay already?
Yeah, exactly. No, at a restaurant. Now, we need your support. Please do call. Make the pledge. And one of those three premiums is worth it in itself. Even if you weren't pledging for the show, these books are worth that amount of money. Michelle Alexander's The New Jim Crow for $60. Or you can get Jacob Hacker and Paul Pearson's Winner Take All Politics for $60. Or the book I wrote with John Nichols, Death and Life of American Journalism, the new paperback edition, which has two full new chapters in it and just came out this summer. So it's fresh. It's a brand new book in its own right. And you can get two of those for $100, all three for $150. Trust me, these are books I feel very good that no one... I think it's impossible to read these books and say, boy, I didn't get anything out of that one.
Or to say, you know, yeah, I'm really satisfied with how things are going.
Or, yeah, no one can read these three books and say, I already knew all that. There's nothing new in here. These books are going to turn your brain around and really make you, I think you're going to be glad to read them.
I think it would be safe to say that if you could bottle these books up, especially Michelle Alexander's book, make it into a drink, right? Put it on the podium at the Republican debate. If Michelle Bachmann drank this, it would explode her brain. These are ideas that are way beyond. But they are not, you know, this is a weird thing. They're not radical ideas. I wish I could tell you that they were. What they are, this is good, serious research.
Yeah, evidence.
This is reality.
Yeah, reality-based research.
It's not some, you know, like, wow, I've got this theory that you know, we got a little ongoing problem with race in this country. What Michelle Alexander communicates is we don't just have an ongoing problem with race in this country. We actually are reversing the progress that we made for a brief period there in the 60s and the early 70s, when as a country we had Republicans and Democrats competing with one another to say, well, I'm doing more to address the legacy of slavery and segregation. I'm really trying to reverse this thing. Remember, the incredible thing of this moment that we're in is if Richard Nixon walked on the stage at a Republican presidential debate, I mean, he would be booed out of the room. Richard Nixon would be viewed as worse than a socialist in this moment. Ronald Reagan would be unacceptable this moment. And the objection I have and the concern I have and why I think a show like this is so important.
Herbert Hoover would be too liberal.
Way too liberal.
Herbert Hoover, that's a wacko.
And here's the problem. Our media, our mainstream media in this country, after all these years of complaining, after all this, you know, raising the issues, it is actually doing a fall infomercial for the most extreme ideas that would have been literally laughed out of Barry Goldwater's Republican Party. And this is irresponsible. It's actually fundamentally irresponsible. It's not that that Herman Cain and Michelle Bachmann shouldn't get a hearing. They should get a hearing. I don't mind. All ideas should get a hearing. But for, you know, experienced, relatively competent journalists to sit there and let them spout this stuff and then not say, well, hold it, Mr. Cain. That's nuts. I mean, that doesn't work. We're developing a false construct in our media coverage of politics. And it is that you can come up and if you have the imprimatur of a political party, you can say the craziest thing you want. And somehow our media treats it seriously. It has a dangerous impact because it actually makes people think these are legitimate mainstream ideas. And what I think is happening in America is we have a real bifurcation of the country where the Occupy Wall Street movement is out there saying, this is crazy. Yeah. This is nuts. But we also have a reinforcing of a Tea Party kind of mentality on the other side, much of it coming from mainstream media. If we don't start to deconstruct this and tear it apart and think about it in serious ways, as this show does, I think we're running into a moment where there's going to be very little ability for people to speak to each other on left and right.
Well, I do think, and what we try to do in this show is avoid cliches, avoid name calling, and just bring people on doing some work, have something to say, and give them a chance to say it and say it in their own terms and answer questions, but not be rushed through a one-second soundbite, and give callers a chance to question them on issues they want to see addressed I don't touch on them.
This is the time when the questions are needed because, you know, we don't have all the answers, but what we do know is that there are big ideas out there, important ideas that are coming forward. People are clamoring for them.
Yeah.
You know, these again, Occupy Wall Street, the 99% movement. This is about people who I think, you know, now are 20, 30 years into not hearing a logical response to our economics and our politics saying, I demand it.
Yeah.
And again, here we had Jeff Smith on from Occupy Wall Street on this show saying, the guests on this show are the people who have underpinned a lot of the thinking of where we're at.
And so unfortunately, this is the show where you're getting it. And that's why we need your support at 217-244-9455. Again, I'm Bob McChesney. You've just been listening to John Nichols. This is Media Matters, the special two-hour edition. We're going to go all the way on to 3 o'clock. We did get another web pledge from Normal, Illinois. Thank you, Normal. We can use some more web pledges. But we do need people to call in and make the pledges. We're going to go to NPR News in about a minute or so, a little over a minute for 5 minutes. And while that NPR News is on, it's a perfect time to call 217-244-9455. Make that pledge, whatever you can give. Again, you know, any amount. We need the numbers. We have a goal of 100. We know we have thousands of people who listen to this show every single week. It's tens of thousands even, if not more. We just need to get 100 of you to say, this show is important. Having this sort of guest is important. I am willing to step forward and give what I can to show the NPR executives that this show and this station that sponsors this show and has the